Hello, this is Nexa with Evolving RPG, and I'm joined with Greytome, who's also a member of Evolving RPG, and what we are discussing is tonight we actually tried to play a D&D adventure using several online tools in order to play. Now, he happens to be at his house, and I'm about 50 miles away, so we wanted to see what was the viability of actually playing it. And just in case anyone wanted to actually hear how us nerds were doing this, we figured we would make this little podcast. So say hello, Greytome.
Hello, everyone.
So jumping right into it, the first thing we did is these were the tools we used. We did 3D Virtual Tabletop, which is a game that we came across at Gen Con this year. And it's available for the Android, iPad, Android.
They say the Kindle Fire too, but I haven't seen it run on that.
The second tool we used was the Inferno website that you have to register for an account, a free account. It's a free account, right?
Yeah, it is. There are premium benefits where you can assign achievements, things like that. But primarily, any membership just to basically run a game or join a game is free.
And the final piece of our puzzle was, obviously, Ventrilo to do our talking over the about the adventure. So jumping right into it, basically Greytome ran us through a little module where basically two goblins walk into a bar and the adventurers had to stop it. And basically, we wanted to give you kind of like our feedback of using the various tools. So I'll let Greytome go first, and I'll just chime in.
Well, of course, every great story starts with two goblins walking into a bar. Basically, we just want to test the game mechanics there and how this would translate from something that would be traditionally on a tabletop into a virtual tabletop. So running a couple things side by side there, both the virtual 3D virtual tabletop and Inferno.net's tabletop version, kind of seeing which way things would work there. A couple good things that we liked there were speed. There was little to no lag, so there was no real noticeable difference there, any problem there. Movements on the tables were readily available to other players there, so they were able to see it. So that was something good. It was a concern there that if there's lag time, that could cause interference in people understanding what's happening there. 3D Tabletop basically is an app available on tablets right now. They do have a demo version available on various computers, but easy download. I was running an iPad Air with the game hosted on that. I was able to download a map off the internet. 3D Virtual Tabletop does come with its own selection of miniatures that can then be plugged into the virtual tabletop. You can also easily make your own by using various images that you download, save into your pictures on the particular device. So you can make your own tokens very easily. Launching the game, you know, very easy again. Use Google to log in, then you're able to host the game. Now, multiplayer games do require you to sign up for a subscription through Virtual Tabletop. 3D Virtual Tabletop does require a subscription. It's, I think, $9.99 a year. But that pricing subject changed there, but currently that's what it is, and you're able to host games. From there, it's fairly straightforward. Everyone can kind of move their miniatures around there. There's no real locking or shadowing effect. Everything's out there for everyone to see. So regardless of what particular miniature it is, anyone playing on the table could potentially move a miniature. So everyone would have to be a little careful with that. Plus side, you know, easy use, easy download. You know, it's not expensive to get a subscription to it. And play was very easy, very straightforward. Now, some downsides we did notice. Oh, go ahead.
And just to add on to that, he's absolutely right. The playing was actually really easy to move the miniatures around, and it really got a feel for, like, you know, you could actually kind of see where your characters are. You can rotate the map and basically count the squares and the grids to see how far you are away from it. So it really did add a good visual aspect to the game.
Yeah, it's nice. It does include a feature that allows you to snap the miniature to a particular grid that's already loaded into the software on 3D Virtual Tabletop. In some of the maps that we had here, it worked better to turn that off. So we were able to manually move the miniatures around on the tabletop. But it just depends on the map you have. Looks like the preloaded maps that they offer right now, those grids are lined up to the grid format that's innate in the software. I imagine they may be coming out with more maps as they go forward there, but pretty straightforward to use any map with a grid line on it.
So the next piece was, well, actually, before we jump into the next piece, as we said about the pros, here are some of the cons. The one thing about 3D tabletop that was a little bit hard was that there was an issue with the timeout. If your tablet falls asleep, then you automatically get disconnected from the game, and that could be kind of frustrating because most tablets seem to fall asleep within a 2 minute span if you're not using it. So we did find that an issue that we had to constantly keep relogging in. However, the makers did seem to keep the table alive. Long as you didn't completely exit out of the app, the table was still alive. But that by far was the biggest con that I've seen. How about you, Greg?
Oh no, definitely. That was the thing. If you're looking up rules, it's very easy to lose track of it. You think, okay, I'll just keep refreshing it by moving the table around, doing some sort of activity to keep the tablet alive. But just now, just as we started talking, my iPad timed out, so it went to sleep. Logging back into it, it saved the game table, but the game's now disconnected from the joint network. And that could easily happen. We found that just kind of going through the new Dungeons and Dragons rules there was we're looking something up, you lose track of time, tablet times out. Okay, we have to get everyone to log back in. So as you don't close the app, it's still there, but a bit of a hassle. And I imagine something they may be addressing going forward. But definitely one of the few cons to it. It doesn't have its own innate video software. You would require something else to handle audio or video, which what we're doing right now is I've got my MacBook running alongside the iPad, so I'm running audio and video through the MacBook, whereas I'm watching the table on the iPad. Again, maybe something they come up with as they move forward, but out of the box, it's not bad software.
And just to go right into that, another thing, another con was that there was no die roller, which is a really good segue into the next tool we use to supplement the 3D virtual tabletop, and that was Inferno. And that's spelled Inferno, and it's inferno.net. So you can go there and check it out. Now, what Inferno, what we used that for was that, number one, it was good for a die roller where, I could see what he was rolling, he could see what I was rolling. It was also good because Gray actually created just a little, kind of like a little flow chart to let us know what initiatives it is, because it seemed like the good people in Inferno allow the NPCs to have higher die rolls than the player characters. So we got to see that they were going first. It's good for messages. So I noticed that we started getting in the habit of saying, like just typing a message, what we're doing, such as I was saying, I'm attacking Goblin 1, and then I would roll my attack rolls. And Gray, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, we'd use Inferno a couple times over the years. It's been the team that developed the software has been at Gen Con in the past, and we've had a chance to talk to them. So it's a good table. A lot of built-in tools there. The nice thing is the video chat is already built in. So you're able to run that right through the desktop there. So running that right now as I talk there, I'm actually running Venti with a muted mic in Inferno, but I can run video through Inferno there. Loading maps is very straightforward with Inferno. The only downside to it that really saw there was adding small tokens. I had to use a token maker to do that. The other virtual tabletop, 3D virtual tabletop, does include its own library of pre-made tokens. Inferno doesn't save anything in like that in the software. It does have some tools to lay out different items, but those are more geared towards meetings and business use, would appear there. In fact, there's actually biz, communications, education, energy, farm, medical, meetings. So it's there may be some other applications for the software that they're running, but there's nothing really gamer based that's based in this where it's okay, here's a generic monster, a goblin for you to just throw on the tabletop. You do have to make those tokens beforehand and then load them. Once they're loaded, it's very easy to modify them. Now Inferno does allow you to push articles forward and pull them, push them back, pull them forward. So I can hide something behind an existing image and then pull that image out. So it is possible for me to log in, set up a tabletop. The players log in and they don't see everything that may be behind a particular image. Then I could take like a graphic of a road that I have up right now that I'm kind of using an example on the screen, and then I can push that to the background and have something appear on the tabletop. Now the only thing is once people are logged in, it's hard to do that because there's again no fog of war effect that I can tell. But in running games there, Inferno does have the video chat, so everyone can kind of see each other, so you do get that social aspect. You've got the innate die roller, and fairly easy addition of loading maps and images right from your computer. Right now, Inferno does not run on an iPad. It doesn't play. It requires, I believe, a flash to work there, and with Apple being way it is with their permissions there, it won't run on an iPad. I don't know about other tablets. It may run on Android devices. I'm not sure. Haven't had any experience with that. But right now, it runs fine on my Mac, but not on the iPad.
I have to say, to just add on to what Gray has said, that like I said, what I'd really like about Inferno is the fact that you can get push information back and forth. As we were playing the little just a little encounter, what I did is I actually went to Google Images and found a picture of a goblin. Download it to my computer and then upload it to the screen just to have a visual of what we were fighting. And that was really simple and straightforward. A couple of times it didn't work, but after playing with it, Gray was actually able to see the image as well. So, but by far the biggest thing that I really like about the Inferno piece is the fact that it has the built-in chat and die roller. 'Cause that makes it easy to, make sure nobody's fudging roles.
Rose.
Not accusing
Not
group.
accusing our group.
Sorry. But not accusing
Not
Gray of
accusing.
fudging roles. Go ahead. Okay. Excuse us while we deal with our technical difficulties. And then the
And
final
then the
piece.
final two, with the fact that we're actually running Venti as we kind of look at each other on Inferno's video. But it's one nice thing about Inferno is it puts the video and audio all in one place. You don't need to run something in the background. As we're doing right now, but you don't have to do that. Just kind of the way we chose to run it tonight. So that is another plus to it. So, and like I said, it is also a free service. You don't have to sign up for anything. But to award players achievements and there's certain other things that you can do, you do have to get one of their premium memberships. But you can log in, play around software. It's free, and they've planned for the near future to leave it that way, apparently.
Now, the last piece of the puzzle was Ventrilo. We basically connected to a Ventrilo server and we talked everything out. Now, Inferno has, like Gray said, video chat and audio, but just for whatever reason, I find Ventrilo to be crystal clear, and obviously I'm using it to create this podcast here, so I think it has a lot of good uses, and gamers use it all over the world, so that's why Ventrilo was our audio of choice.
No, and it worked very well for us, especially if you if everyone doesn't have access to a camera, and or for whatever reason they're this they could be running Ventrilo on a cell phone, and if they're not at a location where they would or have their normal computer, so they're just going to do audio. They can still follow along with the virtual map and talk to everyone. So it's just a matter of kind of the resources your group has available to you, and kind of what you're looking for. But encourage everyone to take a look at both software packages and see which one works best for your group and your gaming needs.
But overall, the whole experience, it was a little clunky, but it was definitely playable. And keep in mind, this is us trying fifth edition rule sets with all this software to kind of make a virtual play of a D&D game. So it wasn't that bad. It was a little clunky, but with a little practice and a little working on it, you can definitely game this way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you've got players like you and I who are separated by some distance, or it's just even if you're closer and it's as difficult to get everyone together at one location, especially during if people have work commitments, school commitments there, they may not have a lot of time to take into account for travel. They want to be active and be able to play later, but then when everyone's at their home and able to do this, it works out very well there. And we have run some games with fourth edition in Inferno before 3D Virtual Tabletop had a multiplayer option there, but it's definitely doable. So it's just like you said, it's just a matter of kind of working out the kinks there. It is a little clunky. The wrong keystroke, you remove an icon, or kind of accidentally move something around when you don't mean to. But all in all, definitely playable. The fun factor is definitely there. So.
So once again, it is 3D virtual tabletop, 3D virtual tabletop available in the Google Play Store as well as in the Apple Store, and there is a online web version, but it doesn't have all the functionality. Then there's Inferno.net. That's INFRNO.net. Something worth taking a look at, and then of course Ventrilo, which has been around for years and it's rock solid. So, the final thoughts, Gray?
Definitely, I'd recommend people check it out. It's the technology is catching up to where it's doable now to run a game on a virtual tabletop. For many years, a lot of people talked about it, but the technology just wasn't there to be able to support it well. Now you've got two good options there, and I'm sure, and there are others, I'm sure. But these two are really good low cost options. In the case of Inferno, you can get started with no money down. You just log in, create an account, and you're off and running. One thing I probably should mention there, just as a final thought there too, 3D Virtual Tabletop right now doesn't have a network of people, in terms of a gaming community. Inferno.net does have a calendar of games that run constantly. So if you're looking for a game, you want to jump in there, they're out there. So it's easy to connect with other people there. 3D Virtual Tabletop, you don't have anything like that. You kind of have to put the game out there and have people join it, kind of looking for you. But again, 3D Virtual Tabletop's only been out for a short period of time that I know of, especially in a most of the time, it's been a demo version. And with Gen Con this year, was the first time we heard of that you could offer multiplayer options. So I'm sure they've got a lot of things in development. But if you're looking for a group, Inferno.net could be a good option for you.
And with that, we'd like to thank you for listening to the Evolving Roleplaying Games website first podcast, and we hope you enjoyed it and hope to do many more in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.